Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us and Saint Conrad of Piacenza. And his story begins now. Known for his holiness, people sought him out for advice and spiritual direction. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Saint Conrad of Piacenza, pray for us to be patient with ourselves when we fail, to make amends when we are wrong, to rely on God's strength when we are weak, and to surrender ourselves completely to God's mercy. Amen. My plan of life is chiefly this: to love and suffer, always meditating upon adoring and admiring God's unspeakable love for his holiest creatures. Today is the feast day of Saint Conrad of Piacenza. Conrad was born in 1290 to a noble family in northern Italy. And when he was still young, he was married to the daughter of a nobleman. And soon after a hunting incident, Conrad and his wife agreed to separate. And so Conrad joined a group of hermits who followed the third order rule of Saint Francis, while his wife followed and became a member of the Poor Clare. And so because of his growing reputation for holiness and increase of visitors, Conrad moved to a remote part of the island of Sicily, where he lived for 36 years. And he died kneeling before a crucifix in 1350, and he would be canonized in 1625. So he was born in 1290, and he died on February the 19th, 1351. And though pious, he led the normal way of life for a man of his station. And one day, he was engaged in his usual pastime of hunting within his family's domain. He ordered his attendants to set fire to some brushwood in which game had taken refuge. The prevailing wind caused the flames to spread rapidly to the surrounding fields and forest. A peasant who happened to be found near where the fire began was accused of starting the blaze, and was imprisoned, tortured to confess, and condemned to death. And because he ran, an innocent man was convicted for spreading the fire and was condemned to death as punishment. Upon hearing of this, Conrad stepped forth to accept the blame, saving the innocent man's life. He paid for the damaged property, and he and his wife gave everything they owned to the poor in recompense. And so Conrad then joined the group of Franciscan hermits, and his wife joined the poor Clares. As the man was being led to execution, a remorseful Conrad publicly admitted his guilt to the city. And as punishment and reparation for the damages he had caused, the city seized all his assets, only sparing his life due to his noble status. After many years of an itinerant life, he settled there in a grotto now named for him, and for the rest of his life spent a most austere and penitential life of solitude, working numerous miracles and gifted with prophecy. In 1343, Conrad felt called by God to serve the local people more directly, and in 1343 went to the city of Netum, where he cared for the sick at the hospital of St. Martin, there for the next 2 years. And soon after this event, Conrad and his wife agreed to separate, she to a poor Clare monastery, and he to a group of hermits following the Third Order rule of St. Francis. His reputation for holiness, however, spread quickly, since his many visitors destroyed his solitude. Conrad went to a more remote spot in Sicily, where he lived 36 years as a hermit, praying for himself and for the rest of the world. And he enthusiastically promoted the work of charity, which aided neglected children. Conrad spent hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Conrad spent hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. He regularly asked the Blessed Mother to intercede for him and for the many people he included in his prayers. The ever-patient Conrad was canonized in 1934. Word eventually spread of Conrad's holiness, piety, and gift of healing. When many visitors began to destroy his life of silence and solitude, he moved to Sicily, where he lived and prayed as a hermit for 36 years. And Conrad visited the bishop later to make a general confession to him. As he arrived, Conrad was surrounded by fluttering birds. Around 1340, he settled in Sicily, where he became a solitary hermit in the Valley of Noto. Here, too, his reputation spread and people flocked to his cell to be cured through his prayers. St. Conrad is invoked for the cure of hernia. This comes from miracles attributed to him. Legend has it that he was visited at his hermitage by an old friend who was suffering from the pain of a hernia he had developed. And seeing the pain he was in, Conrad was moved to pity and prayed for him, and he was immediately cured of the hernia. He also prayed for a local tailor who suffered severely from several hernias, and the man was instantly cured. The miracle for which Conrad is best known is the miracle of the bread. This occurred during the Great Famine in Sicily in 1348-1349. During that catastrophe, Anyone who came to St. Conrad for help was given a loaf of bread, still warm, which it was said he had received from the angels. Prayer and penance were his answer to the temptations that beset him. Conrad died kneeling before a crucifix. He was canonized in 1625. Conrad died while in prayer, kneeling before a crucifix, on 19 February 1351, the day he had predicted. The saint invoked as patron of hernia sufferers. The miracle for which Conrad is best known is the miracle of the bread. This developed during the aforementioned famine which affected Sicily as a result of a severe outbreak of the bubonic plague on the island. And during that catastrophe, anyone who came to St. Conrad for help was given a loaf of bread, still warm, which it was said he had received from the angels. And Conrad was beatified in 1515 and canonized in 1645. And he is invoked as a patron of hernia sufferers due to several healings that the Lord worked through him. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious lives of these saints, through their faithfulness. You work great wonders through them. And St. Conrad now is calling for us to pray for our priests today and clergy, to pray for Pope Francis and the clergy around the world today, to pray for them, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. In prayer, we thank you, Lord, as we come to you in prayer and supplication for those in need and for those who serve. We pray for our priests. That the world can be transformed through your word. So we pray for our priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back. And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
Jesus, Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them, guide them, and keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement and loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Like Jesus, they too are your sons. So keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus. And put Jesus always on their lips, so that Jesus is the one they offer to sinner and all they meet. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be their mother, loving them and bringing them joy. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in your heart. Give them a piece of your heart, so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humility, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, make them humble like you, and holy like Jesus. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate, and may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. And we pray for our bishops, Lord. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastors and teachers. And we pray for our deacons, Lord. Lord, give our deacons fertile ground for your inspiration and love, and comfort them, Lord, when they question themselves and their ministry. And we pray for our intercession, and we intercede for our seminarians. Lord, give our seminarians the grace to follow you more perfectly. Give them peace, Lord, and humble of heart. And give them strength, Lord, and courage and wisdom, Lord. Fill your church with the spirit of courage and love, Lord. Raise up worthy ministers for our altars. And grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And we pray for our altar servers, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to serve you during the Holy Mass in your sacred presence. Our hearts are filled with joy and peace, and may your Spirit always guide us so we may grow in your love by the grace of the Heavenly Father. Amen. Open our mouths, O Lord, to bless your holy name, and cleanse our heart from all evil and distracting thoughts. Enlighten our understanding and inflame our will, that we may serve worthily at your holy altar, all for the honor and glory of God. And along with all our altar servers, we pray for all of our children. We pray for our children, Lord. We pray for holy families, Lord, for families, the sacrament of marriage. Parents will teach their children the Holy Catholic faith. As we continue to pray for our children. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of our children and grandchildren.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children. Children.
You'll have that responsibility soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young, carefree children.
And help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us, just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son, and so grow in strength and wisdom. And the favor of God, amen. Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the universal church, families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers. O glorious Saint Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Along with Saint Conrad of Piacenza and Saint Sebastian and Saint Nicholas, and St. Maria Goretti, and St. Daphna, and St. Philomena, and St. Gianna, and St. Christopher, and St. Michael the Archangel, and St. Raphael the Archangel, and St. Gabriel the Archangel, and St. Monica and St. Anthony. Lord, you are our children and grandchildren's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. And I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children and grandchildren. No plague will come near their tent. Lord, you are my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. And I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph, I love you very much, and I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And we pray for those who have recently passed. Pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries, focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change but do not end. And I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all the dead known to you alone, in company with Christ who died and now lives. May they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together again in one family, to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. And may they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. And may Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And we lift up to you, Lord, the prodigal, those who have abandoned and turned their back on the holy faith. We pray for the prodigals, Lord, and we thank you for loving them even, loving them more than we do. Lord, you said that you would leave the 99 to reach after those who have gone astray. Thank you, Lord, for loving them even more than we do, for watching over them when we can't, and for working to draw them to yourself. And we pray for America. We pray for our soldiers and veterans, Lord. Give them courage, hope, and strength, leading them from darkness to light. And we pray for the prisoner, Lord, those resident in prison and their families. We May they be aware of your presence with them, and may your spirit bring them peace and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray for those in the hospital, Lord, those who are ill and sick. We pray for our police officers and our first line responders. Pray for those, our doctors and nurses who work in the hospitals, that the hospital would be a place of hope and healing for those there. And we pray for the poor souls in purgatory, Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the Mass is said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Amen. And we pray, Lord, that this Lent will be a time people will grow closer to you. Donna Corey Gibson, Catholic singer, and put into music the Stations of the Cross. And how beautiful that is. And today, the sixth station.
The sixth station. Veronica wipes the face of Jesus.
You.
We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Amen. Intercessory prayer, a Lenten sacrifice of love. I remember I was 12 years old when I was confirmed in the Catholic faith at St. John Alon in Blue Springs, Missouri on September 23, 1968 by Bishop Sullivan. At the time, I did not know fully what this meant, but as I grew older, I became thankful to my mother, who gave me the opportunity to learn and grow in my Catholic faith. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We are expected to grow in our faith till we pass on to the next life. We are on a journey in this life, a pilgrimage that will help us navigate through a strange land. I chose as my confirmation name Francis, after Saint Francis. He probably meant the most to me because of his love of animals that I grew to appreciate. And like my confirmational namesake, I recall the story of Saint Francis receiving a vision of Jesus calling him to rebuild his church. And St. Francis at first misunderstood our Lord, thinking he meant an actual ruin, the chapel of San Emiliano, where he began rebuilding the church. Our Lord actually intended for St. Francis to go to Rome and meet Pope Innocent III to rebuild the church to establish the Franciscan movement. After returning home to the Catholic faith in October 1978, I began finding myself the center of attention as my roommates, friends I knew on our college campus, challenged my newfound faith. I'd be in the student union where we would meet to eat sometime or something, or just chill out a while. And I could be at the dining hall eating when a group would gather around me, there to talk about their faith and renouncing mine. I would be on the baseball diamond practicing when others would wait for the practice to end so they could meet with me. This was a daily grind. I remember receiving some powerful dreams that were so real as a result of all this debating. I didn't know what to think of it all, especially having 3 nights in a row dreaming of the Lord's return. I would wake up totally shaken because how real this was and how profound. And one particular dream had the greatest impact on me. After a major debate in the room where I took on a number of those attacking the Catholic faith, I went to bed troubled. I slept hard, but I dreamed that God's church, the Catholic Church, was dead. I felt such despair and sadness, I began to cry. I found myself in a church in ruins. I walked through the ruin, moving up towards the sanctuary, where I came upon a crucifix. And I gazed upon the image of Jesus on the cross. I noticed that Christ was shedding tears. Real tears moving down his cheek. This vision touched me profoundly as I began to cry for the despair I felt seeing Christ crying for his body, the church. I never felt such anguish. I cried so much that I woke up out of my sleep totally wet from crying. My pillow, the bed, and the blankets were all wet. I sat up as it took me a couple of minutes to realize this was a dream. I recalled my confirmation that took place in Blue Springs, Missouri on September 23, 1968 by Bishop Sullivan. I renewed my vows and told the Lord that I would be a soldier for him. I will not betray him and leave the church, even when people around me do. I will do my best to remain loyal and stand for him, a promise that I have tried to keep since 1978. As I pondered again on this, I certainly took for anything I could to glean from it. Like most today, I have loved ones who have abandoned their Catholic faith. This is the hardest thing I've had to endure, knowing that loved ones have abandoned their faith. It seems that the Lord took my vows seriously, as I have shed many tears on behalf of those loved ones who do not know how much they have hurt the heart of Christ and his mother. Luke chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus tells us that the good shepherd would leave the 99 to go after the one who has gone astray, and the joy of heaven when finding them and bringing them home. And James chapter 5, 19 through 20 tells us that when a person has fallen away from the truth and another person brings them back, the Lord will give them back their life and forgive them of their sins. That is the importance of confession. The season of Lent is a great opportunity for a good Christian to deepen their faith, but it is also a great opportunity for someone that might have lost their faith to find it once again. Like St. Francis would start a movement that would lead many back to faith, hopefully we can do the same in our day and time. There are a lot of voices telling us where to go and what to do, but at the same time not knowing what they are saying. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 states, the aim of our charge is love. That issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. And verse 7 is a kicker to me. People who want to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. I was listening to a Protestant minister on the radio one time. I was driving looking for something, and as I listened to him, it occurred to me how true 1 Timothy chapter 1, 7 really is. There was nothing fundamentally wrong with what he said, but he had no idea what the text meant coming from St. Paul. The Bible is a Catholic book. To look at text outside the Catholic faith is literally taking things out of context. Least case scenario. They never reach the fullness of truth. The danger of this at large is when people listening to this cannot see the difference and can be captivated by such sermons and grow into these false representations, which takes you away from the Mass, the sacraments, the truths of the Catholic faith. To think that all religions are equal because they have similar goals is very dangerous. Just as Jesus sent St. Francis to go rebuild the church, we are all called to do the same. Lent is a great call to mind the importance for us to seek the Lord in a deeper relationship, but to also be mindful to represent his fullness of truth. I once vowed to remain faithful to the Lord even when some around me do not. That has not been easy. That is only half of his call. The other half is for us to reach out in his name to work towards bringing them back. Remember that Jesus loves them very much and wants us to bring them back. Much like saying, as Valerie in this example. You've been listening and praying with Deeper Truth, standing on the in the gap with us, with Saint Conrad of Piacenza. And tomorrow we will have Jacinta and Francisco, the children of Fatima, that will be in the gap tomorrow. And as we will close for today, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you all today.